We'll ask Brother Taz Barton of Salem to pray for Brother Chambers.
Our loving Father, who art in heaven, we're so grateful for thy providences and the permission of ourselves to be here. We thank thee for the privilege of this holy convocation of thy people, that we may come together to consider various phases of thy truth, to fellowship together, to get to knowing and to loving each other more, thereby glorifying thee by a deeper appreciation of thy great love for us. We thank thee then for this enlightened day in which we're living, and for the many phases of thy plan of the ages that's been made so clear to us. Help us in this convention to see these things more, but more importantly, to imbibe the spirit thereof, that we may glorify thee and we may build and strengthen each other up. We pray thy blessing on this service and on Brother Chambers as he speaks to us. May his part be such as will follow these things that we've asked in this petition. Bless us then this hour in the direction of the service. May it all be to thy spirit and all to thy glory. Forgive us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Wilmot got us off to a good start this morning, telling us of those things who may know God's mysteries. And now we're privileged to hear at this hour from our brother Charlie Chambers of Vancouver on a very interesting subject. He's chosen for the title of his discussion with us, The Stock Market. And we'll ask Brother Charlie to come forward to the Lord's blessing.
Thank you, Brother Carlton. So good to see you again, brethren. Fellowship together. Before we discuss your stocks, your losses, your bonds, we have a note to deliver to you the love of the Vancouver Friends. Now, they are thinking of it in a very special way, they said. Wonderful to realize this, because each ecclesia represented here from near and far, it's not those in Washington, D.C. that are adding their blessing to us, or those in Moscow or Ottawa, but we are being remembered at the very center of the universe in God's presence. So how good it is to come aside a while. In the spirit of our brother Chandler, who welcomed us here to stimulate in the faith the things once delivered unto the saints. Not just the responsibility of the brethren here on the platform, but the individual responsibility of every one of you as we gather together here and elsewhere. So we have the love of the Vancouver Friends, then, my duty, privilege, and joy to bring to you. The stock market. If you don't think of anything else, I hope at least you remember the title. It may ring a bell. The stock market. You know how important the stock market is, really, friends, when you get down to business. It's the very backbone of our nation, of our country, of the world. You know, it's so serious, so delicate, the stock market, that such as when Mr. Eisenhower became ill, well, the next morning the old stocks went down, just like that. It began to topple. The death of one man can just alter the whole aspect of the economy of a country. Or the behavior of one nation alone can affect the economy of a nation. Overnight, values change. You go back to 1929, and you remember how the stock markets just dropped so quickly. Millionaires, rich people were made, brought just poverty-stricken, and went so far in their desperations that the nation was swept with suicides. 1929. A sound economy will give to us peace of mind, security, confidence, guaranteed dividends. And that's what we want, friends. Guaranteed dividends. You've all heard about the Dow Jones report, an agency which gives a accurate criterion as to the balance and condition of the stock market. And it has been referred to constantly. It's of necessity when studying stocks and bonds and such to note the Dow Jones report. Well, we're not going to spend the whole hour talking about stocks for sure. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe you do. But nevertheless, as I begin to think about this convention and some of the values and suggestions in relationship to the Christian investment that we have and our stocks and investments, friends, and those things that we have value in the spiritual sense, or our spiritual stocks, or Bible student stocks, and what we have invested into, I thought there are some very, very valuable lessons to take note. As a parable, as it were, an illustration. So let's parallel then the stock market and some very interesting facets that we can take home with us by His grace. Think how the stock markets in the Bible student circles slumped in 1916 with the death of one man. Think of the hush that came over every ecclesia, every brother and sister in the Bible student world felt the loss of Brother Russell. After his passing, the stocks took a tumble. We began to see conditions arise that we never even dreamt of, but as the years that followed, the stocks began to rally and come into a proper balance again, and has continued down through the years since. Now, while the combined message of God's Word will supply for us, like the Dow Jones report, we're going to just term it, for terminology, the Peter Paul report. Because the Peter Paul report gives us some very valuable guidelines as we make our personal investments into the spiritual stocks that will pay off for us in good, sound dividends of peace of mind and security. We are interested in stocks, Brandon, for various reasons. Some people invest in stocks for immediate profit, advantages of the present life. Others invest in stocks for the future, weighing up for security in old age. For what reason are we investing in stocks, in spiritual stocks? For advantages of the present life? No. We are investing in these spiritual stocks, friends, for the advantages of the future that we are laying up for. In 2 Peter 1:12 to 15, we have a thought concerning the personal investment, an investigation, and the soundness of the stocks that we have invested in. Because it becomes a very personal matter when we make our investments. And just a casual look at the trends in the stock market is not sufficient, brethren. Just a casual look is not sufficient. You cannot invest soundly in the worldly stock market without you spend a good deal of time and comparison and weighing of the values that are represented in the stocks. And note what Peter says here concerning this aspect of the personal application as we invest. He says in 2 Peter 1:12 to 15, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." That's what the Peter Paul report tells us, first of all. That a casual glance at that which is circulated as spiritual stock, we must investigate. Though you know these things, I would not be mindful, he says, to forget to put you in remembrance. It's a case that Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the stocks, the spiritual stocks." Rightly dividing. And remember that is a life and death matter with us. as it was with many back in 1929 in the loss of their stocks. It is a life and death matter with us as we make our personal investment. And while there is a present inheritance enjoyed by every one of the saints of God, nevertheless, our great and chief investment is for the future, brother. In Matthew 19:21, Jesus gives us our lead. As we quote from our Peter Paul report, we see also filed in this report statements from other faithful saints. Under the head of this new creation, he reminds us, in talking to that young rich man in Matthew 19:21, Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect or complete, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Treasure in heaven. That is what we're interested in. We are investing in the heavenly treasure. Notice this further guideline in our quotation from Matthew 6:19-21. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust, moth do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your stocks are, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is where we're making our investment, friends, and the spiritual stocks that we are possessing. We are making investments now which will be converted into security when we mature into manhood in Christ and pass beyond and receive enough capital so that it may be said of us, as it was said in Psalm the 87th chapter, "This one and that one was born in Zion." But our birth in Zion will depend upon our attitude to our investment in the heavenly stock, in the heavenly treasures. But before we could make any investment whatsoever, we will all recognize that we are indeed very poor. In Ephesians 2:1, Apostle Paul reminds the church of Ephesus of this very factor. And while reminding him, the guideline is that we too are reminded of this very fact, of our very basic start. He says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." And to amplify the matter so that the picture is very, very effectively impressed upon us, Jesus gave us a parable in Luke 16:20 about the rich man Lazarus. And do you see yourself in here, friends, before you were able to make any type of investment whatsoever in the spiritual stocks? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. This is very descriptive, friends, of us, portraying our condition before we were able even to make any investment whatsoever in this wonderful heavenly treasure or stock. It was because we finally did realize this matter of our poor state that we did interest ourselves, became interested in eternal life stocks. Yes, it was because we saw ourselves as we were, dead in trespasses and sin. And then Proverbs 23:23 meant something to us. Buy the truth and sell it not. Our investment and our security then lies in Christ alone. 1 Corinthians 3:11. "For other foundation can no one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Ah, that was sound investment, friends, when we rose to the occasion and realized here was our security. And our stocks are not watered stocks. They're not the type of stocks that sometimes gold stocks are They go in with a shotgun and they pepper the wall with little flakes of gold. It seems to be impregnated into the wall, and they'll take some investors out there and they'll say, look, we've got a real thing going here. Look at it, it's all over. Falsified. No, no, our stocks are real sound, friends. And they will not fail us if we are ready to make the necessary payments over and beyond the down payment that we originally made. Now notice Paul's assurance here to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 12 and 13, as he assures Timothy of the 100% returns to his investment. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Such assurance by Paul. He goes on to say, hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Doesn't that sound like a 100% sound dividend return to everyone who makes this investment? Notice what he says in Philippians 3, 10 to 14 from the Phillips translation. How changed are my ambitions! Now I long to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now I long to share his suffering, even to die as he died, so that I may perhaps attain, as he did, the resurrection from the dead. Yet, my brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually, nor do I consider myself already perfect. But I keep going on, grasping ever more firmly that purpose for which Christ Jesus grasped me. My brothers, I did not consider myself to have fully grasped it even now. But I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal. My reward, the honor of my high calling by God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that nice? No question as to the security here by Paul, the full assurance. How wonderful it was when Romans 12 and 1 came to our attention. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then, Proverbs 23 and 23 meant something to us, didn't it? Buy the truth and sell it not. In 2 Corinthians 5, 15 to 16, we began to consider the matter a little deeper. And that investment that we were making. And the reason why. He says, the love of Christ constraineth us, that Brother Chandler mentioned to us in the opening welcome address. Why? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Henceforth we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us. This is the import of the message of God as it reaches us, brethren. The invitation to invest in the spiritual stock. And the glorious reward in the treasure in heaven is the realization that we were dead and we owe our dedication to him who died for us. While some people invest today and sell tomorrow because of fears, insecurity, questioning the values that are involved, and thus they sell, not so with us, brethren. Buy the truth. Sell it not, is the admonition from the Scriptures. Too many have bought the truths, bought stocks in the divine truths, and have sold them for one reason or another. Let us not follow in their steps, brethren. Our investment or shares, let us not sell them for any price that might be offered. Well, we believe we are investing then in eternal life stocks. Now, let's take a financial page of our newspaper. If we had one here, we would open it up, and down in this column, now look over here, things that you can invest in. There's minerals. They're all in different categories. There's There's oils, oil stocks we can invest in. There's produce. There's construction. Yeah, we take that financial page and look at all the things that we can invest in. You have the means to do so. What does our manual hold out for us in the investments that we make in eternal life stocks? Well, the amount of investment you make, and that you make, and that I make, will depend entirely upon our attitude to what Jesus reminds us when he said, "Are you able to be baptized? Are you able to invest in these interests, such as I am investing in? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with? Are you willing to make the initial investment? Are you willing to go all the way in your investment? Because if you do, then it will pay off. Sound dividend." One hymn puts it this way, as we question ourselves, "None of self and all of thee." Or, as the verse originally started, "Some of self and some of thee." Just a partial investment. That's not enough, friends. It has to be all and go all out in our investment if we're to fully realize a fulfillment of the dividends that are to be paid in eternal life. Notice Paul in Philippians 3, 7 to 13, that favorite scripture you've often read. As he weighed the values of life, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." And he was a wealthy man to inherit his father's wealth, a man intellectually, a bright man, well-learned, the feet of Gamaliel. He had so much in this life to place a sound value on, but he waved all these aside. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ." Doesn't that sound like a man that has bought stocks into something that he believes in, and that he's going to go all out for, to attain to? Was there any question or doubt in his mind as to what he was investing in? Not one. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." There's somehow something about King James Version that seems to ring even better than some of the others. Reaching forth. He wanted to realize the fruition of his investment in the spiritual stocks that he had put his life on the line for. Now, when buying stocks, usually one deals through a broker. He does not personally make the purchase, but he goes through one who is a broker and authorizes them to make the purchase. Man that is acquainted with the rise and fall values of stocks, but not so with us if we invest in our spiritual stocks. It is a do-it-yourself program, brethren. It is up to us to weigh the values that are represented in these spiritual stocks. And it's left to us to make this judgment. Now let's take our spiritual financial page and let us make the comparison of some of the values, some of the things that are represented by stocks in which we are to invest into. Well, let's take the minerals. There's a long list of them that I see here on my financial page. Under the minerals and the spiritual aspect, I see there's gold investment. And look here, over in this column down, there's silver. We can invest in silver. And there's copper. We can buy shares into the copper stock. And there's rock. Values of rock. Down a little further here, I see there's construction. We can invest into the construction stocks. And of course, there's the oil stocks. And there's the produce. Well, being as it's a case of a personal investment then, we get a wise guideline. And Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the wise man Solomon in Proverbs 2, 1 to 7, puts us on the right track for that personal touch to it. My son, if you will receive my words, and you'll hide my commandments with thee, so that thou wilt incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. He just leaves it up in the air, and he keeps going on, doesn't he? Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Sounds like we've got something to do about this personally, isn't it? Then thou shalt understand the fear of the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We just don't leave it to the other one to do. We have to do it ourselves. A personal investment. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. Oh, it's a personal matter, friends. All the way from the beginning. You didn't make the consecration for me. I didn't make it for you. I had to recognize it myself. And I had to buy, first of all, copper stocks. Let's take a moment or two and consider our stocks as they are related to that of the copper. We all appreciate the symbolism of copper in the Word of God. Copper represents perfect humanity. We didn't have any to start with. We had no copper that we could stand before God. By grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, how is that? Well, because somebody else provided these stocks for us. Somebody came forth and gave us a good package of copper stock. We had our justification, our standing in the copper that Jesus was able to lay there. His perfection. Oh yes, you remember those posts around the tabernacle? Holding up the white curtain? Wooden posts? They just didn't stand there on their own. They were set in copper sockets. Who provided that copper? I didn't have any stocks. But Jesus did. Yes, we had to initially then accept those stocks, the recognition that Jesus, as our copper, our justification, we have our standing in Him all our lifetime. And I know it's all our lifetime we have to keep our investment and not sell any stocks in this field, because those posts went through a slight change. And you remember the five posts as we went into the first veil into the tabernacle? The five posts now, there were 60 out there. They represent the same craft, but a further development in their Christian life. Everything in here is gold now. Even the posts are wrapped around with gold, which we will consider in a minute. But look, look down there. Still copper stocks. We can't get away from it. We can't sell our copper stocks, friends, because we need His righteousness all the way. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy copper stocks, friends. But we can never get into the kingdom and realize the dividends on our own righteousness. Isn't that a wonderful lesson to recognize? Let's pack a good solid supply of copper socket, of copper stock. In John 3:14, you remember the copper serpent. When Israel was bitten by the serpents, Moses commanded to put up a copper serpent on the post out there in that state. And as they looked to it and had faith in this way, in this provision from God through Moses, that they would be saved and they would not die. Well, we too, friends, recognize the symbolism that Paul tells us about in Hebrews 9 and 28. When he comes a second time, he will come without
a sin offering unto salvation. His mission into the world was to be represented by that copper serpent there, which he took the sinner's place. And as we look to him, invest in this copper shears, and we are saved. We were bitten by sin and are dying. But now we're no longer to consider ourselves as miserable sinners, as you remember the comment Brother Russell makes, but we recognize then the copper in our standing. Our justification is in Christ. No other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. In Songs of Solomon 5 and 10, Jesus is brought into focus for us very poetically. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, but we're going to exchange our copper shares. In Revelation 19, 7 and 8, we are told that the marriage of the Lamb hath come, and she had made herself ready. And instead of having copper shares, she churns them in, and she receives in turn, in exchange, some fine linen, which is, according to the Revelator, the righteousness of the saints. We will need our stocks all the way until glorification, and we will turn them in for personal perfection then and not until then. And in exchange for fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Passing on, time is going. Let us consider our silver stock. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 12, we are told about a foundation. Now, when we begin to build our faith house, now if any man will build upon this foundation, which of course is Jesus Christ the Lord, silver, gold, and precious stones, we must also invest in silver stocks and have a goodly supply here too, brethren, because silver in the Bible represents truth or verity. The truth shall make you free. Error never sanctifies. Now, how many shares do you have? How many silver shares do you have? I have one. In Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. I thought that was marvelous when I read and accepted that share, that silver share. The fact that God had appointed the ages, which he had purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord. This plan of the ages thrilled me, brethren. I just wanted to buy more and more of these shares. I begin to see my Heavenly Father, my God, my Creator, in a different aspect entirely. Not as a Creator that met circumstances as they arose in the passing of time, and because of His great power was able to surmount the obstacle, however wonderful that might be, I was so pleased to know that God had a plan, and that by His intuitive knowledge He knew all the aspects of the development of the nations that would arise in the future, and was able to map a plan with all its contingencies, and then to make all this work out for good, at even the cost of his own son. Well, that was a share that I never wanted to lose. Some tried to replace it and take it from me. But God doesn't have a plan. And then Ecclesiastes 1:13, that by the permission of evil, that God felt that this was a wise exercise in the permission of evil. What a key that is. What a share that is, brethren. What a stock in the silver in truth. To know that this great God of the universe is all wise and can make all this work out for good, and that it was permitted as an exercise in evil. Oh, this is a valuable one. I never wanted to give it up. Then there was the ransom. To recognize 1 Timothy 2, 1-6, that in the ransom at the provision of the gift of his son, to offset the sin of Adam. What a marvelous share. What an investment that was, because it meant that not only Adam was coming back, but all his children as well. Because if Jesus died for Adam, he died singularly for Adam,
and we were in him, and we received the benefits in Christ.
Oh, this was an investment. I never want to lose it. Some have tried to take that from us too.
Then there's restitution, Acts 3, 19 to 21. The great fact that heaven would retain Jesus Christ. Because after all, he said in John 14, 1 to 4, that he was going away, And it caused a great disturbance to the brethren then, because they thought that the kingdom would be established in his day. And here Peter rises after Pentecost and said that heaven would retain Jesus Christ, because he went away to appear in the presence of God for us. And then he would come. And then he would come when? At the times of restitution. At the chronological marking time, Jesus Christ would return and begin to work as earth's rightful king, to perform certain aspects of his kingship. Finally, it would blossom into the full mental, moral, and physical restitution that we pray for and long for. I don't want to lose that share either, brother. Then there was the general resurrection, John 5:28-29. The fact that all in their graves would hear the voice of the Son of Man and would return. Wasn't this a wonderful investment in the silver stock? To know that it wasn't a case of me, my wife, my son, his wife, we four, and no more. That it wasn't a selfish aspect. But rather that all mankind were to enjoy it, a living and dead, and the restitution that will reach everyone. Then there was the call of the church in Hebrews 3:1. Consider, brethren, your heavenly calling, Paul said. What a thrill that was. Another investment in silver. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1-12, 2 Peter 3:8-10, did it not thrill us as we received another share in the silver stock that Christ was to return? And the description that he was to come as a thief in the night. And when Paul writing here, the church of Thessalonica, went so far to say, I don't have to tell you about these brethren, the times and seasons, for you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which, not after, but when the day of the Lord would start, in the which the heavens would pass away with a great noise. The elements would be on fire within the scope of this period of time. Don't lose that share. In the harvest. How wonderful it was to recognize the beginning of a harvest. Revelation, the 14th chapter, when the angel went through with the everlasting gospel. Did it not thrill you again to recognize that we were at the end of the age and that the harvest was the end of the age? And that to be in step with the Lord and harmony with him, we were to engage in harvest work?
How thrilling this has been to the individual experiences that each one of you could testify of in your share that we were in the harvest time. You remember, as we go into the tabernacle to the second veil, from 60 posts to 5 posts, we come to 4 posts now, to the same class of people showing the progress, the development in their Christian life, and now they get their final reward. They realize their investment as represented in the 4 posts. Still the same class. Covered with gold, but look down at the bottom. They don't have any more copper sockets. They're silver sockets now. Verity. Truthfulness. The Christian had attained his goal. It's been progressive, hasn't it, since 1 Corinthians 13:12-11. Now we know in part, and then we shall know. Don't lose your stocks, friends, your shares in these respective truths, because they will give us eternal life stocks when they are realized in the state of glorification. But then let's get on to the gold, the spiritual, financial page. There's gold there. Oh, gold means so much, doesn't it? Gold in the Bible represents all that which is relationship to the divinity, whether it be the divine promises, divine hopes and prospects, our reward. That's why Paul was able to say, to those who seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And when we were represented there in the post holding up the white curtain, the righteousness of Christ, the message of salvation, and then the post in the holy were covered with gold, and everything in there was gold, you remember. Everything related now to the divine aspirations and hopes. The retraining of our minds that were going earthward, now they have to be trained upward to those divine things. This makes the difference that Paul says between those that are carnal-minded and those that are spiritual-minded. So those that have made their investments in the gold stocks, the things that pertain to God's promises of living and reigning with Him. Let's have lots of gold stocks, brethren, beside us. Malachi 4 tells us that God is going to refine the sons of Levi as gold and as silver are refined. As gold and silver are refined. Yes, each saint then is interested in the gold stocks. And to perfect the gold, to separate it from the minerals, it takes a lot of heat, doesn't it, brethren? A lot of heat. And so it will take a lot of heat, trials and experiences that are designed to separate the gold from the things of this life, so that we may look ahead to the full prospect, enjoying the present inheritance in relationship by faith, sitting in heavenly places with Christ. Paul tells the church of Ephesus. Then, how about the rock? Next comes the rock. Another mineral. Daniel 2:35. And the stone which smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This stone represents the kingdom, the authority, and it becomes a great kingdom. Isaiah 2:1-4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. But what you and I are seeing today, friends, is this stone having smitten the feet of that image is grinding. That's what we're seeing, brethren. According to Daniel, in the second chapter, the stone smites the image in the feet, the remains of the old Roman Empire that's seen represented in Europe. In the days of these kings, would the God of heaven set up a kingdom? But it had a certain work to do first. It doesn't say it strikes the image and then it grows to be a great kingdom. Read it a little closer. It strikes the image on the feet and then it begins to grind and grind and grind till it grinds it into a powder and is blown away from the threshing floor, as it were. And then it begins to grow. Now this is the aspect of the authority of Jesus Christ at His second advent. He returns to set His kingdom up. That the first authoritative work that He has to do is to grind down the old system that's represented in those tools. And when that work is accomplished, then, after that state of anarchy covers the earth, the psychological moment when the attack is made on Israel and the destruction and collapse of this old order is felt, and then it begins to grow in the aspect of the blessing phase or stage of His wonderful kingdom. We need to buy many shares, friends, in this Bible teaching concerning the establishment of the kingdom of God. We are in the time when the Bible says men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the world. Do you share their fear, brethren, that maybe God has forsaken us? Maybe God is dead. Maybe there isn't a God. What are we going to do? You know the dilemma that is sweeping the world. You begin to feel it as you mix with people and recognize the desperation that they're in. Have you a lot of shares, brethren, investment, to recognize that after all, God is at the helm and He hasn't let the state of things slip from Him? Psalm 46, 1-3, can you say this? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. I know the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You are seeing this. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the masses of humanity, as represented in the working classes, are beating against the bulwark of society and government, causing the sudden overflow and destruction of some in an anarchistic and severe methods, as we see governments and kingdoms topple, or whether you see others' mountains melting by a slower process, nevertheless, the leveling taking place. Can you say that God is in the midst of her, the church, and she shall not be moved? God shall help her in that right earth.
We are seeing evidences, friends, that the thief has entered the strong man's house and is now challenging the usurped authority which Satan usurped in the Garden of Eden. The God of this world never had his authority challenged until the thief entered the strong man's house. Since 1874, our parable takes over. If the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief had come, yes, Satan didn't realize when the second advent was to take place. But because the thief sneaked in, because Jesus has returned suddenly, he's challenging the authority of Satan to continue any longer. And he's in there, like we say, of a bull in a china store, just breaking everything up. And isn't this what we should expect? That the kingdoms would topple? Isaiah 24, 1 to 3, and 19 to 20, the earth would reel to and fro like a drunken man and would be carried away like a cottage. This is true. What a wonderful investment this is, brethren, to recognize this kingdom is exercising its authority in the earth in respects, first of all, to the destruction of the status quo and that which had been accepted for so long, which seemed so secure, and the kingdoms of this world are passing away with a great noise. Matthew 19, 27 to 28. Our investment is in the kingdom, brethren, in this rock. And just as we have sold everything, as the brethren back there sold everything, to make their investment. This is a little bit of a conversation that took place. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, as they were querying, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, Lord. We have followed thee. We have bought stock, investment,
into that which you are telling us about, which was the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
It was that kingdom, friends, that rock, the establishment of that kingdom that thrilled them in which they bought stocks in. And Jesus said unto them,
Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, in the world's new birthday,
you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Representative of all mankind. When will our dividends be realized? Ye which have followed me. Now. In the regeneration, in the world's new birthday. Oh, they had one back there in the Garden of Eden, and it was a poor birthday. It's been a nighttime, marish experience. Be overruled by God, but the world's new birthday, when we shall sit in that part of that kingdom, in that, have our share in that rock, and join the others that are actively engaged in the destruction of this old order. And we which remain, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and we which remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's when we will realize the dividends of the future for each one who is invested in the hope of this kingdom and his particular share. Revelation 11, 15 to 18, we are told that as this kingdom begins to be felt from 15th verse, and the kingdom, singular of this world, becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Yes, Satan's authority has been challenged. The time has come to set up the kingdom of the Lord that we have prayed for, and the nations were angry. And thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. And thou shalt give reward unto thy servants, to the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Here you have laid out before you, brethren, a work of 1,000 years. All is to be accomplished. It has to be enumerated in order this way, but it represents the work of the 1,000-year work of Christ, doesn't it? Let's hope and pray that we may have a share in this rock, in this kingdom, brethren. In Revelation 21, 1 to 4, I saw a new heavens and a new earth. For the first and former heavens had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John, the holy city. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, in that part of the kingdom, in that stone investment, the shares that we have. And to him that overcometh, will I give to sit down with me in my throne, even as I am set down with my Father in his throne. What a prospect, brother. And then let us not forget the oil investment, because after all, brethren, how important is the oil? Psalm 133, Leviticus 8 and 12, remember the anointing of Aaron and the effects of that oil. Exodus 30, 23 to 24 tells us about the composition of this oil, our shares in this oil. 500 shekels of myrrh, calamus, cinnamon, cassia, all representing understanding and knowledge, deputyship, the work that we have to do. Very important to have a good amount of this oil. So much so that in Matthew 25, we are told five were wise and five were foolish. And five were foolish because they didn't take enough oil in their vessels. So let's get by a lot of shares in the oil in the Holy Spirit. This is so important. And then let us think of the produce. Oh, this is so important, brethren. The produce. We may have shares in the minerals. We may have shares in the oil. We may have shares in the gold and the silver and the rock and all these things. But if we don't have a good supply in the produce shares, then beware. We might be like those 1929 that lost their lives. John 15 and 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. 1 Corinthians 13, if I have all knowledge and all wisdom and unravel all these things and have not love, I'm a thinking symbol. Oh, this, get all the shares you can. They're worth more in value, brethren, in the produce field than all the other shares put together. The spirit of this matter, the development of love, and as Brother Russell has suggested, this is the will of God concerning you, February the 5th manna. All other work is subservient to this one great thing, the sanctification that must go on in the Christian, notwithstanding our possession of all these other shares. In Psalm 45 and 7 of Jesus said, thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And oh, what a possession Jesus had with the oil and with the shares of the fruits of the Spirit, how outstanding he was. So, brethren, Matthew 19:29, in completion. What shape are your shares in? Your complete investment now will assure you of a sound future when you cash in your investment. And every one that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake, that is, have put these things secondary, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. What an investment. How many shares have you got? Oh, but it doesn't end there, friend. That's just cashing in on your investment. But you know there's going to be a new issue then. New issue of shares. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the shares of life eternal. Let him take of the waters of life eternal. Wouldn't that be a grand issue, friends, that we can have a part in opening up for mankind? And when they make their dedication to the Lord, it will bring to them also a realization of eternal life. How are your shares there? Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Charlie. A wonderful lesson in the stock market. I'm sure that we echo Brother Charlie's sentiments in asking ourselves, how many stocks, the heavenly stocks, have we invested in? I've been told that
dear loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come to thee in the name of thy dear Son, Jesus. We thank thee, kind Father, for the blessings and privileges of association together, for the rewards of faith, the present investment, for the glorious hope of the future, not for us only, Father, but for all mankind, as we read this in thy wonderful testimony. We thank thee for the counsel, the warning, advice, Father, those faithful apostles and prophets and of Jesus. Help us as we leave this convention, realize we are on the threshold, Father, of our realization of our hopes that we may renew our consecrations to Thee, to purchase more and more an investment in the things of the Spirit. Now, dear Father, at this time we would ask Thy blessing on the temple needs and provisions here at this convention, the hands that have labored, the cost that is represented, of time and energy which we are all mindful of. And for this meal, may we use the strength to thy honor and glory to further our fellowship today and to those that will serve us. And to thee we give the praise and the honor and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.